This is Jay Sekulow. Five lawsuits filed against the president's national emergency declaration, most of them focusing on the environment.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Attorneys general from 16 states filed a lawsuit seeking to stop President Trump from implementing his national emergency declaration in order to build a border wall.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Any number of people, any number of states will be harmed by what the president is proposing to do. You can't raid $8 billion worth of services in this country and not harm someone.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so here's what we got. 16 states in one lawsuit, four other lawsuits. We got five lawsuits now against the president's declaration of a national emergency. A group of states led by California filed the lawsuit in U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, which is San Francisco. The reason is, this way it's in the Ninth Circuit. And even within California, the Northern District is the most liberal of the district courts in California, which are very liberal to begin with. So I think, as the president said, likely that these courts are going to declare these unconstitutional. But there's four other lawsuits. And what's interesting about those lawsuits filed by various groups, a lot of them are alleging the allegation of loss is that there's going to be harm to the environment. I mean, that seems to be the focus of four of these lawsuits. And what's interesting about that is, that is a very weak basis for what we call legal standing.
Well, that's right. I mean, even in the 16-state lawsuit that's part of it, the ACLU's lawsuit, which has been filed, is not on behalf of the ACLU, but is actually on behalf of the Sierra Club and a Southern Border Communities Coalition. There, again, is the negative impact on the environment as well. So then you look at the next one. Well, I mean, it tells you in the kind of the court heading, Center for Biological Diversity, that this would harm the
plaintiff, by the way. Center for Biological Diversity is a plaintiff in one of these lawsuits.
Yeah, and that they're along with the Defenders of Wildlife and the Animal League Defense Fund, that this would, quote, harm the environment. So, again, you've got all these issues. Even the one of the seizure issues is filed on behalf of an Audubon Society. That's also an environmental issue then.
So, Andy, you're making faces on that, because, again, folks, this is what's important about this is, you have to have a legal basis to get into court.
Yes, and the fact that birds may be harmed is in the Audubon Society. I mean, I'm all for birds, believe me. I'm not saying anything about fowl, F-O-W-L. But what I'm saying is that that's a ridiculous basis to get into the United States District Court and to invoke its jurisdiction to counter a measure that the president has taken in his exclusive statutory right to declare and determine what is a national emergency.
But what they've done is, you know, here's what's interesting to me, Harry, is they've spent, you know, a couple of days getting this ready. So you got these five lawsuits that have been filed, and then you look at the lawsuits and you say to yourself, what were they thinking? I mean,
I think that's precisely the point. I'm not sure they were thinking other than from a political perspective. So there is no, at least in my opinion, substantial legal basis to challenge the president's authority. Secondarily, there's the probability that many of these lawsuits, many of the litigants, lack standing. Many of these suits should be kicked out of court and arguably will be kicked out of court, at least when they reach an appellate court level. But in essence, many of these lawsuits suggest that protecting national security, in essence, harms the environment. These lawsuits are channeling their inner Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, there you
go. Who, if he had the power, said that he would tear down even the existing walls.
Right.
So in other words, there would be no borders from his perspective. Just come in, come all, and walk across the border.
So
this
so
makes no sense.
It does not make any sense. So, Than, let me ask you this. So politically, I mean, you got these lawsuits filed, and obviously we're going to respond. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. But what's happening in Washington on this right now? Are they on to other things?
They're not on to other things, but I suggest maybe they should be, Jay, because if they want to argue that the environment is being harmed, what about the American citizens being harmed with the open border? They're on very perilous political grounds, in my view, Jay.
I mean, Jonathan Turley, law professor at George Washington University, said very thin grounds for these lawsuits. Very, very weak. We're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back in a moment. 800-684-3110. Back with more.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a five-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. So we've got five lawsuits filed, most of them involving that the president's national emergency declaration is violative of the law because it's harming the environment. That literally is the cause of action. In most of these lawsuits, it's harming the environment, and then the Audubon Society's filing because they're worried about it harming birds. And again, nothing, as Andy said, nothing against birds, but okay. And the fact of the matter is, who's being harmed here? The American people. Now that the shutdown's out of the way, Than, now that that's over, and we're dealing now with just a core national security issue, where is Congress on this? Are they going to stay out?
No, I don't think they're going to stay out, Jay. I think they're going to try to either maybe engage a lawsuit through the bipartisan legal advisory group, but I definitely think they're going to put forward a resolution of disapproval. Ultimately, Jay, and we can walk through some of that if you want, but ultimately they don't have the votes to override a presidential veto. But I would say this, I think the larger question is not whether or not the president's order will be struck down, because I don't think it will. I think the larger question is how much harm is the left going to do to itself politically? Because again, I'm pro-bird, Jay, but you're going to argue that a wall is going to destroy more birds, and yet MS-13 is coming across the border and murdering American citizens. Jay, that's not a politically tenable argument to make heading into an election.
But you put this on with the whole, you know, running a socialist now, and Bernie Sanders is going to end up leading the pack here pretty soon. And you've got the, you know, Tlaib, and we're going to talk about this later, the congresswoman speaking to the another CARA organization, Council of American Islamic Relations. I mean, so this kind of, all of this is fitting in. And then they're yelling and you know, the screaming lawsuits against the president's national security declaration, national emergency declaration is what? That it's harming the environment.
Yes. I mean, that's the the only other real issue here is the funds issue is, and that's the states are trying to get at that, but of course that's a federal issue.
Right,
it has nothing to do with the states. I mean, the states have no authority.
They can't
to file
compel
there.
Money.
No, and that's a federal. These are federal funds, not state funds being utilized. So again, I think that the fact that in every one of these lawsuits, the environment is having to be utilized to try and get standing.
Yeah,
and let's just explain that that's the main goal, is trying to give one of these liberal judges an opportunity to find a way to let this proceed so they can issue an injunction.
That's exactly what it is. That's what it's
so
about.
So throwing it all in there.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call.
Yeah, Robert, Maryland, on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan, and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, what are the basis of the other lawsuits that are not basing, that are coming up against the president's national declaration on environmental grounds. What are they basing their lawsuits on? Because basically, I don't think there's anything they can base their lawsuits on. Like you said, from a statutory standpoint, the president can issue these type of national emergencies.
Right.
President Obama did it with the opioid crisis. Number two, it's also within his constitutional authority to do as well.
No, you're right. I'm holding in my hands for our TV and Facebook audience and Periscope and whatever other social media platform you might be watching. This is the lawsuits that have been filed so far. So four of them involve environmental issues, including the one filed by the ACLU. Now, the ACLU is representing, I think, the Sierra Club in their case. The other lawsuit by the 16 states, they are alleging their monetary violation is there's money. It's going to have an adverse impact on their economy and funding that they want from the federal government. I think these are very, very weak standing issues, really weak. And in that sense, I really believe that, and I think Jonathan Turley's right, Harry, these, I don't think it carries in court. But we're going to, let me tell you what we're doing at the ACLJ. We actually have an email out today. We're going to file in each one of these cases a friend of the court brief setting forth the president's constitutional authority under Article 2 to, and the statutory authority to declare a national emergency, which the president did, and we're going to file in each one of those cases. But Harry, I mean, it's ironic that they're using both. I mean, that really the one that's not the states, the individual, the private plaintiffs here are all using basically the ecology. I mean, it's the environment.
Yes, and it's also interesting that issue never came up, as I understand it, in terms of any discussion at the congressional level about funding the wall. That's number one. Number two, we've had a wall funding during the Obama administration, during the Bush administration, and no environmental harm was sufficient or found to be sufficient to prevent funding those walls. There's a wall outside of San Diego, one outside of El Paso. But also it's important to keep in mind that the litigation filed by the 16 states in California raise kind of novel constitutional arguments that the president has exceeded his authority. Well, that arguably implicates all other national emergency declarations, and we now have 31 that I believe are still in effect.
Right.
And also the states led by California are claiming that there is no objective basis for declaring a national emergency. That claim denies the facts that are on the ground. We have steeply rising drug problems. We have an increased number of undocumented children crossing the border.
Yep.
We have an increase in the number of families. We lack the facilities to house those individuals. We have gang violence, drug trafficking, human trafficking, you name it, so that if you were an impartial observer looking at the facts, you could say there has been an emergency on the border for a number of years, and both political parties have ignored it. This president is taking action.
Yeah, and what they did, though, was that to try to get into federal court, that's all they're doing here. I mean, they're just trying to figure out, how do we get into federal court? So how do they get into federal court? They come up with, it's going to impact the environment. Now, we're making light of that, but the reality is that's what's in four of these lawsuits. Four out of the five are impacting the environment, Andy.
Yeah, that's true. The one of them that Becerra has brought on behalf as the lead plaintiff in the Northern District of California says the president is essentially stealing money that's been allocated to go to the states for various purposes, but no longer will. We are being harmed. Our people are being harmed. That's like saying any appropriation of Congress for the national defense, okay, that's a national emergency, should be subject to a lawsuit because it is diverting money away from building some kind of dam in California or some sort of reservoir in Nevada. You can't do this every time there's an appropriation by Congress.
No, and a lot of this is, you know, a military base that's scheduled to get a retrofit in 5 years of some building there. In 5 years. And it happens to be in California. But that military base has nothing to do with the state of California. It is the federal government's to decide how to utilize. And so, again, I think that so far with these lawsuits, you have a lot of different outside groups and states just trying. They're throwing everything they can at these judges, folks like ACLU within the Ninth Circuit, to try and find a judge who will grant them
Yeah, that's what this is.
Because then they know if they get that, they're going to get the injunction from that judge, probably.
Well, that's where, look, don't be shocked if they get it, because in the Ninth Circuit in California, it's conceivable. I think at the end of the day, it doesn't hold water at the Supreme Court of the United States. It's not going to survive, just like the situation with the six designated countries. But the fact is, I think in the Ninth Circuit, you got to assume it's going to rule against you. And that's the assumption which you should operate. Having said that, I don't think, and I really do believe this, I don't think that they carry the day at the Supreme Court. But this is the basis upon which they're in court, and I just want you to know the American Center for Law and Justice is going to be front and center on this litigation. Let's go ahead and take a call before the break.
Yeah, let's go to Dennis in Alabama online, too. Dennis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey. I was just thinking about their complaints about the environment and birds, and it's pretty silly and hypocritical considering the umpteen thousands of windmills across the country, especially like in California, that kill birds, eagles, hawks, falcons, migratory birds of all types.
No, that's been raised as an issue. I mean, some environmentalists have gone after the windmills. You're right. On that, but this is, understand what this is. This is the way to get into court. I mean, they're just trying to figure out any way they can come in to get into court. That's what this is about. So what are they trying to do? Let's come up with some basis upon which we can figure out how we can get into federal court. Because if we get into federal court in California, hey, we can get this thing stopped. Because we, after all, it's the Ninth Circuit, which, by the way, my line with the Ninth Circuit was, if you're going to win at the Ninth Circuit, you usually lose it at the Supreme Court like 93% of the time. But all they're trying to do is figure out, Harry, how to get into court.
I think that's
a court in a particular locale, California.
I think that is correct. And it's also important to note that the state of California, along with the other 15 states, has also alleged irreparable harm to the environment as a basis for their litigation. So they are, if you will, tilting at windmills in order to get into court. And I suspect some district judge somewhere in California will issue a preliminary injunction.
So let me ask you this, Dan. So there's reports now that there could be up to like 10 Republicans that could vote against the national, if there was a basically, you're shaking your head. Go ahead and explain what they're trying to, what they may do and what you think is going to happen in 58 seconds.
Yeah, look, I think there might be some Republican senators that have some angst over not supporting or over supporting the president on this. Maybe they would go along with initial passage of a resolution of disapproval. Again, Jay, that's not saying the president doesn't have the authority. That would be voting to invoke their congressional authority to end the national emergency. But here's the key question. You have to get to 67 votes to override a presidential veto. There aren't the votes in the United States Senate for that. Jay, I would tell you this. There aren't the votes in the United States House to overturn a presidential veto. So they can talk about 10 Republican senators all they want. They don't have 10. Even if they did, it wouldn't matter. That's not enough.
All right. So there you have it. All right. We're taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We're also talking about the situation with, we've got these congresswomen that have gone far left is an understatement, adopting a not only pro-Islamic standpoint, but also working with CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations. We'll talk about that.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. expose socialism. 2, prepare critical legal analysis. 3, show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4, battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5, hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
May play that one at the end of the broadcast today. Maybe play it during one of the breaks, too. All right, let's take your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. 5 lawsuits, 4 of them on the environment and the impact on the National Emergency Declaration. Environmental impact studies on our border, which is, it sounds absurd, but that is how they're trying to get into federal courts. So just understand what's really going on here. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, back to the phones. Let's go to Caroline in Wyoming, online 3. Caroline, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm sure everybody else has noticed this. I'm pretty angered over the fact that people are talking about the birds, but yet you can, you know, this abortion and infanticide.
Well, look, again, let me tell you what they're doing here. They're using the environmental argument as a basis upon which, I don't know if they even really believe it. I mean, they're making these allegations, so assume they do. This is how they are going to get Andy into federal court. All they want to do is get in the doorway in a court in California because they have a realistic chance in California of getting a nationwide injunction.
That's right. You need to have standing, and you need to have some basis of saying that the plaintiffs are being harmed, okay? So they come up with this ridiculous idea that the environment is going to be harmed by the existence of barriers. There's a barrier there now in parts of it, but it's going to be worse when you get more barriers, more impediments to entry of the illegals and the drugs and so forth, and therefore you try to hook some federal judge in a friendly jurisdiction like California into saying, yes, you're right, and you have the right to bring this lawsuit because I think the environment will be harmed.
So let's talk about what's going on, though, on the congressional side of this thing, because I think it's important. So we've got 5 lawsuits filed. We are preparing briefs right now that will file in all 5 of those cases. So for our ACLJ members, you're going to be getting an email from us today. You probably already received it this morning. Sign that petition. Be part of the team that's going to go to these various courts in California to stand ultimately to the Supreme Court of the United States. So we're working on those briefs now. But, Dan, what is the likely scenario in Washington on Capitol Hill on this? What is Congress going to try to do?
Yeah, I think on the congressional side, Jay, what people should expect is next week when they return to town, I think you should expect a resolution of disapproval to be introduced likely in the House of Representatives first. This is the mechanism by which Congress could end the national emergency. Jay, if they call that up for a vote, it would require a simple majority in both chambers, and it is possible that it would get through both chambers. The Senate, Jay, would have to consider it within 15 days after the House passed it, should they pass it. But look, that really is irrelevant because the president has already said that he would veto that resolution of disapproval. So it would come back to both chambers, and they would have to secure 2/3 votes in both chambers to override that veto. That's not going to happen. So that effort is going to fail. And Jay, I don't think they're looking for political advice from me, but I wouldn't even try it if I were them, because that would be the first argument I would make in court if I were going in to defend this declaration, is that there's already a remedy in the statute. And in fact, Congress has already tried to invoke it, and they failed. Why are you coming to us when you already know what the remedy is? Congress could end it.
I think it's a valid argument. Now, that's important to point out, and you noted this, that $4.5 billion of the dollars already allocated does not require a national emergency declaration. So even if they get the national emergency declaration tied up in court for a while, that doesn't tie up all the money. All right, we're taking your calls. We got a lot of calls coming in. 800-684-3110.
Yeah, we'll go to Lori in California on line 1. Lori, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Lori.
Good morning.
Hey.
Anyways, I'm calling because I live in California, and so much is going on here.
Yep.
We've got a power grab of thousands of homes in Ventura County right now for a wildlife corridor. But in San Diego, they're currently suing the administration for too many asylum seekers. What do we in California do? Because we're basically held hostage. And then secondly, the national emergency that President Trump did. How does him signing that bill affect it, considering that he signed that they can't build in the Rio Grande Valley?
Well, look, I mean, let's kind of back up on this. Let me answer the first question. What do you do in California? Look, you're going to have to respond, and this is how you respond. There's court proceedings now, so you handle it in court. If there's actions that take place in the Senate and the House, we'll let you know on how you can engage that. What we're asking you to do is sign on to a brief that we're going to file in the various court cases around the country, including California. Well, there's four of them in California, that we're going to file to make sure your voice is heard and then we get the legal arguments out. Now, the other points that were raised, Jordan, you wanted to address?
Well, yeah, the Rio Grande issue is only in relation, the way I'd interpret it, into the $1.3 billion that Congress authorized. So those restrictions that are put there on the restrictions of the 1.3, that's not the other $7 billion that we're talking about here that the president and the White House have identified to be used. So, yes, the congressional funding has said this is where you can use it, this is where we don't want you to use the $1.3 billion.
Yep.
Okay, fine. That doesn't define the rest of the money. I think
draw that distinction. I think it's important. This is not, Harry, as Jordan just said, this is not a – if they get the National Declaration, an injunction in place temporarily, it's not all of the money.
I think that's correct, but I also would point out that at least on my reading of the litigation filed by the Attorney General of California, he is suggesting that the states have authority to intervene with respect to the president's executive power and discretion with respect to monies that are not tied at all to the national emergency declaration. So what we have is something called legal conflation. So he doesn't, this is my opinion, fully understand the legal issues that he has implicated in his litigation. So I think it's bad lawyering on his part, but I also recognize that bad lawyering is endemic, particularly in the state of California.
So here's the lawsuit in California. I'm holding it in my hand right here. This is the one that California filed. They filed it on behalf of California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, then also on behalf of the people of Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, Nevada, New York, the Commonwealth, the state of Oregon, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. So I know we have listeners in all of those states right now. So if you're getting the email from the American Center for Law and Justice, which you should be getting, have received this morning or this afternoon, let me tell you what you need to do. Sign it. Now, let me read it to you. It's straightforward. It says the president has declared a national emergency. We've got drugs, gang violence, and human trafficking pouring in through the borders, which we know is true. It's a crisis. Now the left and 16 states have just filed lawsuits to block the president's national emergency declaration. It's clear the president has the constitutional and statutory authority to declare a national emergency. There are 31 active national emergencies, most for situations far less severe than this. And that is the truth. We've outlined those previously for you. But the legal challenge is real. The left will stop at nothing to block our border security. By the way, chances are in California, they're going to succeed. So understand, as much as we're saying that the environment and all of these issues, they'll probably get an injunction in California and probably at the Ninth Circuit. It also says that we are prepared, we've already prepared a critical legal analysis on this issue that clearly shows the president has the constitutional and statutory authority here. We're now preparing to file briefs on the in these various cases. So we've been down this road before, as I said in this letter. We filed briefs at the Supreme Court and won when the president tried to, President Obama, remember, changing the law. That didn't work out so well for him. You can't change the law. But when you have existing law, you can implement it. That's what's happening here. Sign on to this petition. Very important. If you're not getting these email alerts, go to aclj.org and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You get a lot of information there and stay engaged. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Also, support the work of the ACLJ. See things like this? We're not just talking about it. We're taking action. aclj.org for that. That's aclj.org. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone.
Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Attorneys general from 16 states filed a lawsuit seeking to stop President Trump from implementing his national emergency declaration in order to build a border wall.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so here's what we've got. Five lawsuits have been filed against the president's declaration of a national emergency, four of them focusing on impact on the environment, one on states alleging that they will receive less federal funds. That's how they're getting into court in California. They're all focused, most of them are focused in California. One's in Washington, D.C., but they're focusing in primarily in California. And what they're trying to do in California is get a sympathetic judge to rule in their favor. Now, we have asserted that the president has the statutory and constitutional authority to declare a national emergency under the National Emergency Act, Andy, which he has done. So it's not just constitutional authority, Terry, it's also statutory
That's
authority.
That's right. There are two bases upon which the president has proceeded. One is Title 10 of the United States Code, which gives him a right to determine whether there is and what is a national emergency and to make that definition himself, and that without the advice and consent of the Senate or the concurrence of the Congress. If the Congress later wants to do something about it, there are provisions in the law for reversing the president's move, because that's part of the checks and balances. He also has the constitutional authority under Article 2 to provide for the common defense of the nation, and he can do that on that basis as well. The fact is that I believe lawsuits against this executive order that the president has filed are what we call non-justiciable. That means, in simple English, not subject to being interpreted by or handled in the courts. Those are not matters for courts to determine. Those are matters for the president in the exercise of his executive powers to deal with.
So, Jordan, the chances are, though, that one of these courts in California are going to issue an injunction. But that we need to be clear, that does not affect all of the funding.
No, it does not. So the funding, there's $8 billion that's been identified. The funding for the national emergency, that's part of the national emergency declaration, is $3.5 billion. So it's a big chunk, but it is not all of it. So it wouldn't prevent, you know, this from moving forward, the president from moving forward, the executive branch moving forward and starting to build the structures necessary. You also have the $1.3 billion that was authorized by Congress. Doesn't affect that. So again, you were talking about almost a third, about a third of the funding, but the rest, again, they can throw their hands up all they want, but that doesn't mean it will stop the wall. And I think, again, the fact that you've got the Sierra Club, these are all leftist organizations. It's like throwing her in Planned Parenthood. They're the Planned Parenthood of the environmental world.
Right.
They're totally partisan in where they stand. So don't let the environmentalism issue
cloud it.
Yeah, cloud it. These are Democrat organizations and partisan organizations. Let's go to the phones. Leslie, Washington State, online for Leslie. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Leslie.
Good morning. Hey. Thank you for taking my call. I believe there may be other agendas to the multiple lawsuits in addition to the left's expressed concern for the environment and getting the courts involved. It's to burn up time dealing with frivolous lawsuits until the next election.
I think there's I think there's a lot to that. I think you're right that they're that the part of the plan here is to make this issue. And I think this is one that it's kind of like this move to socialism thing. I think these backfire.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that argument as well, Jay, but I do think they're going to backfire because it will set up a situation where the American people will go to the polls and they'll either vote for a party that is arguing to protect against environmental harm or a party that is voting to protect national security and protecting harm in that regard. And Jay, again, I think that's why there's such wisdom in this three-tiered monetary approach that the White House has put forward. I mean, even if that $3.5 billion that Jordan's talking about falls off the table, there are other tranches of money. But Jay, that $3.5 billion... That's an authority that was used 18 times by Presidents Bush and Obama. That's really what they're hanging their hopes on, knocking down an authority that was used 18 times by those two presidents.
All right, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking a break. For those on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to have a special video put together on these topics. We're also going to get into some political topics as well. But again, your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you again, support the work of the ACLJ, ending up the month there, ending it up strong. Your support of the ACLJ making a big difference. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. And make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter. I've got a Twitter feed. Jordan does. ACLJ does. We encourage you to do that same with Facebook. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Who's next?
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Ben in Oregon on line 3. A lot of people want to know the answer to this question. Ben, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering how long this emergency declaration will be tied up in the courts until it's allowed to go through.
So they're going to be able to build the barrier, the security fencing, whatever you want to call it, in the interim, because the Congress allocated, what was it then, $1.6 billion, $1.4 billion, whatever the number.
Yeah, 1.375, almost 1.4.
Yeah, so that money will go forward, correct, then? I mean, just explain that to people. So that's a separate allocation.
Yeah, I mean, that's been appropriated by both chambers of the Congress, signed into law by the president. It's available to build wall on the 55 miles. And Jay, every indication I've gotten from the White House is that they expect, you know, shovels to move dirt on that pretty quickly. And here's why. They were using pre-appropriated dollars to build prototypes and to plan for construction. So a lot of the things are in place for that to happen. Now, of course, you've got some logistics of moving things into place, acquiring the land that's necessary and all of that. But Jay, every indication from them is that I think you would see shovels start to move dirt in a matter of weeks along those 55 miles.
All right. So here's what so that should answer that question. But having said that, understand what's at play here. This is more than just a legal issue. This is a political issue. It really is a political issue.
Oh, it's a completely political issue. These Democrat attorney generals, they're all Democrats, had to do something. They had to file a lawsuit. California takes the lead, the others sign on, but they had no other option. So to their constituents and their liberal base, you couldn't just raise your opposition to this move. You had to try to do something substantive. And so this is their, see, we tried. So I think that there's a lot in that. We fought the battle. Just like on the travel ban issue. They ultimately lost. They spent a lot of taxpayer money on that. They celebrate those victories at the district court level or even the circuit court level. And then they lose at the U.S. Supreme Court, setting precedent that allows the President of the United States to ban people based off the backgrounds and based off the issues and specifically. So in a lot of ways, because they file these very political lawsuits, they ultimately end up clarifying presidential power, making presidents more powerful. That includes the current president, President Trump. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Greg in Texas on line 5. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning, Jay. How you been?
Good.
Been following you quite a bit over the years. You're doing a great job. Jay, I live out on the border now. I moved out there 7 years ago out in Presidio, Texas, and have been going all up and down that Texas border. And I don't know what kind of an environmental study they're talking about, but I don't think rocks and barren desert have anything to do with the environment that much.
Here it is. I mean, here it is, Greg. You can stay on to comment to that. The senior attorney for the Center for Biological Diversity says it will be a disaster for communities and wildlife along the border, including some endangered species, because terrestrial animals, so land animals, and low-flying birds in the diverse region along the 2,000-mile southern border already have to navigate, Greg, around 650 miles of existing fencing and other barriers. So what's interesting, Greg, is that these environmentalists, of course, try to act like this is something new, but they do have to admit that there's already 650 miles of barrier on our southern border that has been put there by Republicans and Democrats.
What do you think, Andy?
This is hilarious. We're concerned about low-flying birds. I mean, do you know a species of particularly low-flying birds that are going to be affected by the wall? Can't they move over a little bit?
I had a minor bird when I was growing up.
Yeah.
That could fly.
Turkeys are low flyers. I think that is.
There's not turkeys in the Rio Grande.
But, that would be the only bird. If it flies, I didn't think turkeys flew anymore.
Do chickens fly?
But chickens, maybe. They're not that heavy.
They're terrestrial.
I don't understand this. But, I mean, we're concerned about low-flying birds in an area where this caller said is rocks and desert and barren. That's where we want to build the barrier because that's where the bad guys cross.
But this
that's
is
where
what,
the drugs come from.
But it does show you how bizarre these arguments are. All they're trying to do, so I say it for the 14th time today, is get into court because they figure if I get into court and they get into court in California, guess what? The birds win. Harry?
I think that's correct. I think a lot of this opposition to President Trump was triggered by the results of the midterm election. And so from those results, a clarion call was issued for every loony, crazy idea that you could muster to oppose the president. And so rather than offering concern for the people that are harmed by drug trafficking and human trafficking, they are more concerned with low-flying birds. And I think the American people will see the emptiness of the litigation and the emptiness of the left, which seems to get crazier and crazier by the day.
I mean, I'm reading this again because this is terrestrial animals and low-flying birds in the ecologically diverse region along the 2,000-mile southern border already have to navigate around about 650 miles of existing fencing and other barriers. Biologists foresee that an extended barrier disrupting their movements even more.
This is tough on birds. I mean, are they going to call an ornithologist into federal court to give an expert opinion on the low-flying birds and the adverse effect it has them?
Yeah,
you have to call an ornithologist.
Now, what other broadcast are you hearing an ornithologist?
Ornithologist, okay. I'd have to call as my first. Will the plaintiff call their first witness? I call Mr. Ornithologist to tell me about the impact on low-flying bird. But that's how ridiculous this is. But, Jay, you're right.
They'll get it.
All they need to do is get to
in.
Get in.
That's all. I mean, so even though we're asking about this, understand they just want to get into court because once they get into court, they'll get some judge to issue an order. I mean, that's what it is. So, fan, as we talk about this, we're taking more calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Do you see something moving in Congress to challenge the president congressionally, like now? Is that going to go on simultaneously here?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be along the lines of what Jordan alluded to. They're going to take action just because they feel like they have to politically. I think they'll put forward a resolution of disapproval. I think it may pass the House. I don't know about the Senate, but, Jay, it's not going to come close to the measures that would be required to override a veto. So it's just going to be for political cover. You know, I do wonder, though, Jay, I mean, did the penguins migrate to Texas? Is that what the deal is here? We're talking about penguins that are going to be harmed by the wall?
Ducks, penguins.
Low-flying ducks, steamer duck. Yeah. I looked up a list of...
Okay, terrestrial birds?
Eight birds that can't fly.
Okay, who are the eight birds?
That's a penguin.
Okay.
The steamer duck.
Okay.
A weka of New Zealand.
Okay.
An ostrich, which, again, I think, you know...
That's my concern, is the ostrich. The ostrich is being harmed.
A kiwi, a kakapo, a takahi, and a cassowary. These are birds that can't fly.
Andy's concerned about the ostrich.
I think we can look at the low-flying birds, which if you Google, only comes up as a bluegrass band. It's not even like a designation that is... It's like a made-up designation.
We're laughing. Meanwhile, they're going to get into court.
I don't even think that they've used the correct bird scientist or whatever the word is.
How about an emu?
But because
they're pretty big, those emus.
Because low-flying birds, I don't think is the scientific term that you would utilize. So it's like they're just throwing everything, and then
it's bird brain. But
I'm sure there's
court.
A special word for that. I mean, you know, like
yes, it's what Harry said, loony.
Yeah, but here's the. But getting this back to serious for a moment, as much as we're joking about this and laughing, the truth of the matter is, guess what? They're going to get their chances are, if you were betting on it, Harry, you would say they're going to end up with an injunction.
Yes, they will find a judge who went to some prestigious university, who was trained by a tenured professor, who miseducated them, and they will then assert, and the judge will accept the assertion, that birds are more important than human beings.
There you go. Here's what I'm concerned about. We're coming up to the last segment of the broadcast, and we're having all this fun, and that means you get to ask us anything. So our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I said earlier, we've got an email that's out on this, because as much as we're making light of some of this, the truth of the matter is I'm going to show it to you for those that are watching on TV. There it is. I mean, it's about an inch and a half thick. These are the lawsuits that have been filed, and they're going to get an injunction in all probability. So what we're going to have to do is go through the district court, go to the Court of Appeals, and then ultimately to the Supreme Court. Now, how long that takes? At least a year, I think. Could go sooner, I guess, Harry, but probably a year. What do you think?
A year and a half.
So, yeah. About a year and a half. So I think you're looking at even if they expedite it, it's probably that amount of time. So that gives the birds a little bit of a break. Although, since $1.3 billion thing can be spent, some of those birds are going to have to move.
It's going to be tragic in the meantime. I mean, look.
How many miles, Jordan?
55 miles.
Why 55 miles?
Well, that's what's authorized in the $1.3 billion.
Oh, okay.
So at least the initial bird movement will be, you know, under 60 miles.
Feel good about that?
They get to stay in the same environment.
Yeah.
Not like you're pushing them out of the...
It's not too far.
Yeah, they fly. Most of them.
Yeah, but low.
Low.
All right. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org, aclj.org. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this Representative Tlaib, who is now speaking to the CARE group in Michigan. Yeah, okay. Council of American Islamic Relations, unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation cases. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, that's right. And again, we'll be taking all calls in the final segment. That's what we do. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
All right, we're going right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yep, back to the phones we go. Joanna is calling in. Joanne from Ohio on line one. Joanne, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, guys. How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question. Earlier, Jordan said something about that Obama and Bush used this declaration 18 times. Were any of those in the context of the border? Not that it really matters. I mean, I think the
president
can
use whatever. So one of the Obama orders was specific to drug cartels, and it had the Los Zetas cartel, which is a Mexican drug cartel, specifically mentioned. So it was a national emergency with respect to blocking property of transnational criminals in response to crime by specific organizations. First one listed was the Los Zetas, which is a Mexican drug cartel, very similar to like Sinaloa, which was El Chapo in size. And so it was a serious enough threat that the first named group was Mexico. I think that the reason why you haven't seen other presidents have to do this is that they were building barriers and walls and no one was complaining because it was a bipartisan support for this issue. And because President Trump campaigned on it, suddenly it's something he wanted to kind of get done and finish the construction of the barriers that have been authorized before in the past. Yeah. Suddenly it became completely partisan. And now we have candidates saying they're going to tear down walls that have been in place. Like as President Trump said, a lot of this was scrap metal from Vietnam.
Well, let's go ahead and take a phone call here, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to get to this Tlaib thing for a moment.
Yeah, Barbara in Georgia online too. Barbara, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, with all of these suits, how much of the taxpayers' money is going to be wasted on all of this?
Well, look, it's going to cut, you know, it's Justice Department resources, Harry, being utilized to defend these lawsuits. And it's going to cost money. But they have, look, if they can get into court, they have the right to bring a suit. If they can get into court, it's going to go longer. I think they will find in California a sympathetic judge.
I think that's correct. And litigation, unfortunately, is part of the price of offering a policy initiative that puts the American interests first. And so if President Trump would back down, for instance, on the wall and back down virtually on every policy prescription that he's issued, he would not face lawsuits. But many of these suits are simply part of the Trump resistance, and I think the American people have to take a long view with respect to these issues. They will indeed be litigated. There will indeed be some judge somewhere who will issue an injunction.
Yep, that's exactly right. And then we win it at the Supreme Court, but we got to take it all the way up. All right, so Than, let me talk about this Congresswoman Tlaib. So she's been on quite a rant since she's been in office and even before. And now speaking to the Council of American Islamic Relations in Michigan.
Yeah, these associations just continue to pile up for both Congressman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Jay, again, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, the associations with Farrakhan, the associations with CARE, the associations with Hamas. But, Jay, on an individual level, it's one thing. Those people were elected to Congress. I'm still most concerned about the Democrat leadership response to these individuals. In the case of Congressman Omar, she continues to sit on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. There's also been no response to Congressman Tlaib from Democrat leadership. So the question becomes, for Democrat voters, do they expect their leadership to respond if their party does not stand for these type of comments and these type of associations? So far, Jay, radio silence from the leadership.
No, it has been radio silence. And, you know, look, these people, these congresswomen's made some very strong nasty statements about the president. We bleeped out part of this, but I'm going to play it because you need to know this is what they're saying. And Jordan's got an interesting sidelight.
And you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And no. I said, "Baby, they don't," because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the.
This is a congresswoman in the United States who also is running around with the Council of American Islamic Relations and is anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and the whole bit.
You said very serious Muslims. You know, you've got, again, they're endorsed by Planned Parenthood Muslims. They are liberal activists. And she sounds like a liberal activist there. You know, again, people of faith would, I think twice before using language like that, especially in front of their kids. And the setting that she's in a public setting again, she's doing this. If that's how she speaks with a microphone in her hand, imagine what she sounds like when she's not being recorded.
So, Harry, this district that she represents, how difficult in a sense?
Well, it will be difficult to remove her or for the voters to remove her, in part because many of the voters are very sympathetic to the positions that she has taken. And so if you look at the district in its entirety, it's very likely that you will find that outside of the district, Democratic politicians who are unwilling to chastise Representative Tlaib. There was a recent case involving the Wayne County sheriffs who took the position offered, if you will, by CARE and other groups, as opposed to enforcing the constitutional right of an evangelical group to simply use the public streets in order to pass out literature and evangelize. So this is a very serious issue, and it's spreading in Michigan and in other states, and we should be very wary of Representative Tlaib and her colleague, Representative Omar.
So, then you've got Bernie Sanders now in, who runs as a socialist because he is a socialist. And I'm not disparaging him. At least he says it. I'll give him that. He says what his position is. He's running as a socialist, and he's probably going to be leading the pack, at least for a while here. You've got this move, hard move to the left. How do the Democrats maneuver this?
You know, I don't think they're going to be able to, Jay. I mean, I think Bernie Sanders may be a victim of his own success, so to speak, because he challenged Hillary Clinton so vociferously with this platform. Now you've got Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker all trying to tack closer to him in order to win the primary. But then, Jay, you've got this untenable political position of whoever the nominee is having to go into a general election and convince voters across the Rust Belt that socialism is the answer to the economic woes when the resurgence that you've seen in the Rust Belt, Jay, over the last couple of years has been remarkable. The tax policies, the reduced regulations, all of it has been so beneficial. You're going to have a nominee for president come in and not only advocate for reversing that, but for shifting to a socialist economic policy altogether. Jay, I don't think that can get you to an electoral college victory. But look, I think they've pigeonholed themselves on a policy way in the socialism realm. And Jay, if you add on top of that, now they're going to advocate for environmental harm and environmental protections over national security. That doesn't sound like a political winner to me.
What do you think, Jordan?
No, I think that, again, this is the left really taking over a movement. And I think unlike, you know, where you had like a President Trump and people said, well, it's just a change of the Republican Party. I think he's a dynamic individual. But it was the ideology is pretty straightforward. Pro-life, pro-border security, you know, pro-business. And you know the conservatives' theories on the economy, it was really the deliver of the message that was different, and the kind of tone of standing strong for the country again. This is an ideological shift, and that's different because you've got to get people on board with an extreme ideology. I do agree with Harry. I think that, you know, 40% plus of Americans will vote for the
that's really
opponent. The opposition, if you will. They're not even looking past that. It's whether or not you can get people excited enough to get over
and in
hurdles 49.9.
50%, I mean, think about that, that over 40% will vote for it.
Yeah, my prediction has always been that there's a solid core, 40 to 45% of the electorate
would
that's
vote for
going
a
to
noted
vote
socialist.
For somebody who is a socialist or a Democrat because that's how they view themselves.
Do they view themselves as socialists? I have trouble believing that. Maybe that's maybe it's where
Democrats,
it is.
Yeah, their opposition.
Yep. All right, we got a lot more to talk about on tomorrow's broadcast. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.